Lord God, we do thank you for Mary, for her saying yes. We thank you for Elizabeth and Zechariah and their faith in your gracious and powerful provision. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is the true wonder of Christmas. It's not reindeer flying. I mean, give me a break. It's just so thin. It doesn't nourish, does it? It's like too many sugar cookies. You know, I don't know about you, but this time I need some deepening. I need some grounding. And I believe the story this morning, our gospel story, and all that leads up to it, Micah the prophet pointing to this time, is deep and broad and strong. It's a story that nourishes. It's a story that endures. And let's magnify this story. Let's magnify the Lord in all we do, in all our gatherings, just to pause and pray and give thanks to Jesus. Give thanks to God for his provision. There are so many ways we can magnify the Lord in these next days and the season of Christmas. Why do we magnify? Well, because he's worthy. In the letter to the Hebrews, we're told that we, by God's will, have been sanctified, made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We magnify the Lord for this great act. No longer a sacrificial system. It has been abolished in order that the second covenant can be established, and this through Jesus. Mary, in her Magnificat, starts out by magnifying the Lord. I magnify the Lord. And so it always challenges me, again this year, what are the things that I magnify? How about you? What are the things that you magnify? How many of us magnify trouble? And then we become anxious. And then we wonder what's going to happen. And it probably won't turn out very well. And we magnify those things that cause us disquiet and upset. And then, well, why do we do that? Here's the antidote. We magnify the Lord. We magnify the name of Jesus. We magnify the good works of God. We magnify beauty and truth and goodness. How about that? Does that sound all right? It's like a good diet. No one would argue against a good diet, would they? Well, then why would we not train ourselves and discipline ourselves to magnify God's name? Because he is worthy. As one commentator has said, he will be great. He will be great. And so anyone great should be easy to magnify because they're great. No one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ. It is not proven that he is great. Conquerors are great, and he is the greatest of them. Deliverers are great, and he is the greatest of them. Liberators are great, and he is the greatest of them. Saviors are great, and he is the greatest of them. So says Charles Spurgeon. So Jesus is the great perfection of humanity. Jesus is great in the grandeur of all his offices as high priest and king. Jesus is great in the splendor of all his achievements. Jesus is great in the numbers of those he rescues, even now. Jesus is great in the estimation of all his people. He would be called the Son of the Highest. Jesus would be the Son of Mary, but not only her son, he would also be and be known as the Son of God. And so I think Mary is, well, I don't think, I know Mary for me is a great model, a great antidote to the anxiety of this age by the fact that she magnifies the Lord. My soul will magnify the Lord. The core of her being will magnify the Lord. And then the Magnificat is sort of everything that follows after this heart attitude, this soul attitude of magnifying the Lord. In the gospel account this morning in Luke, it starts out with "in those days." And I just love that because the prophets say, and our Eucharistic prayer picks it up, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a woman. In the time even became pregnant. Time was heavy with expectation, and in the fullness of time, Jesus came. In those days, after she had received this message from Gabriel, this young woman in Nazareth, a village of perhaps 200 people, not mentioned in any literature, a backwater, received a message from the Lord. And so who did she go to? Well, someone else she knew who received a message from the Lord. Actually, her husband did, Zechariah, as he served as priest in the temple, burning incense. He had a vision of the angel Gabriel, who said that his wife, Elizabeth, would be with child, although he was an old man and she was an old woman. And because he faltered in his belief, he was struck mute. And so when he came out from the temple after offering incense, he could not speak. And he was just gesturing. The boy's name would be John, and his tongue was loosened once he wrote out the name John in obedience to the command, to this good news, and he could speak. And what did he do? He magnified the Lord. We have Zechariah's song that God has fulfilled God's promises to Israel. And so let's get in sync, shall we, with our forebears in magnifying the Lord. Let's get good at it. Let's have it be our default setting. Not that our knee hurts, but that God's given us these beautiful grandkids. I mean, whatever it is, there are ways, no doubt, for you and I to magnify the Lord. I believe that Mary, through her response, magnified the Lord. And I love these plants, but I'm just going to, I want them to win. I don't want to knock them. She set out immediately from this little backwater Nazareth, and we're told that she walked to Elizabeth's house, to the house of Zechariah. And I thought, well, how far is that? Is it around the block? Down the road? It was somewhere between 80 and 130 kilometers. And she went with haste. She went with haste. What does that tell you about Mary? She had time to think this over. Do you ever go for a walk just to sort your thoughts, to get them straight, to pray, to think? Well, she had this opportunity. Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, it's thought, in Hebron, which was 130 kilometers. It's not known exactly, but somewhere between 80 and 130 kilometers. Jesus went into the hill country of Judea. And listen about how this ripple effect of magnifying the Lord. Mary has already, in her Magnificat, in her song of praise, magnified the Lord. And then listen to the ripple effect. And I believe this is true in our day as well with our magnifying. The beauty, the truth, the goodness of God. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. John the Baptist magnified the Lord in utero. He leapt in the womb. I believe that was this way for him to magnify the Lord. We're told that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry. Her impulse was to magnify the Lord after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what comes out of her mouth? But blessing. Blessing is a way to magnify the Lord. Blessed are you among women. And as I remembered the prayer, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then she reflects and says, why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? And of course, Mary said in her Magnificat that he has lifted up the lowly. And so Elizabeth is experiencing this incredible blessing and is humbled by it. As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Now, what it feels like for a child to leap in your womb, only you who have borne a child know. I have no clue. When Joanne was great with triplets, sometimes all three would move and I couldn't look. It was just too overwhelming to see this jostling And I had to look away. It was just too overwhelming. But I don't know what that would feel like. And so Elizabeth gives expression to this movement in her womb, and she interprets it as him leaping with joy. Because when you magnify the Lord, you see other things in that light. You're sensitive to the movements of people and things around you. I think we have eyes to see and hearts to perceive that God is at work all around us. But sometimes we get so wrapped up and we magnify the wrong things that we miss the blessing. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth blesses Mary when she did the very same thing. And so I think when we magnify the Lord, we're brought out of ourselves and we can bless others. We can recognize the goodness in others. Zechariah in the temple, here he was, the priest, he failed. And I'm not critical of him. Obviously, this news was overwhelming. And the role of John the Baptist, who would have the role of Elijah, the predecessor of the Messiah. But he hesitated in magnifying the Lord, and he was struck mute. "Here I am," the angel said, "Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring these glad tidings of great joy. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So, what are you magnifying? What do I magnify? For Advent, my attempt was to give up those things that bug me. Anything bug you? Any people bug you? Sometimes the people you live closest to are those things that tone of voice, something, whatever, doesn't matter, right? But not to hold on to those, to release that feeling of being bugged. I don't want to magnify that. And I think I've done all right. It's been better for me, that's for sure. You'd have to ask Joanne if she's even noticed, but there you go. What do you magnify? What do I magnify? Let's magnify the Lord. He is worthy.